Respected friends and brothers, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the opportunity to come to the threshold of another Mubarak month. Before we go there, the ayat of the Quran that I have recited, in there, these are the common messages that are found throughout the Quran al-Kareem, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directs us and alerts us to our destination. And the destination, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, can be achieved through continuous hastening and racing and making an effort to it. Allah says that your destination, يُسَارِعُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ, that hasten and race with each other towards the forgiveness from your Rabb, and وَجَنَّةٍ, and towards the Jannah, the width of which is that of the heavens and the earth. And who has it been created for, prepared for? أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, for those people who are the muttaqeen, those who are conscious of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala has spelled out for us the destination in this particular verse. And in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, save yourself from another destination. So there are only two destinations, there's no third destination. Two ultimate destinations. Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي, save yourself from that fire which has been created for the disbelievers. So these are the two destinations that the Quran al-Kareem informs us about, and repeatedly we'll find various other ayat that tell us about it. So my respected friends and brothers, having understood that we have a destination to reach, we have to ask ourselves, what are the qualifications to reach that destination of Jannah? And Allah says, Al-Muttaqeen, those people who have got taqwa, those people who are conscious of the orders and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore the month of Ramadan that we are on the threshold of actually enables us and prepares us to acquire that qualification of taqwa. When a person goes to the month of Ramadan, he accomplishes taqwa. And that is what will enable him entry and justify his entry into Jannah. Allah says, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, fasting has been made farz upon you like it was done on the people of the past. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, perchance you may acquire the qualification of taqwa. Alhamdulillah. So my respected friends and brothers, the month of Ramadan is to prepare us for entry into Jannah, which is our final destination. And that is what a person needs to keep in front of him at all times, that I have a destination to reach, and I have to make sure that I qualify to go into the correct destination of, well, I, like you mentioned, one of the two. Nobody wants to go into Jannah, obviously. But my respected friends and brothers, when we are faced with this month of Ramadan, we need to be more conscious about it. One is the preparation of the month of Ramadan. One is Ramadan preparing us for our destination. And one is the preparation for the month of Ramadan. So it was a sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's a hadith of Sayyidina Salman radiallahu anhu. And other ahadith also, that when Ramadan used to approach, then he used to mentally prepare the sahaba for going into this month so that they can enable themselves to be strong to weather and withstand the challenges to their iman, to whatever else is going to come that way. And in this way we find he spelled out, and we know the ahadith, we have repeated it many times, we'll hear it again inshallah in the course of the few weeks. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spelled out, and we know that it is a month which is a very auspicious month. It's a month that has got great rewards. It's a month in which there's a lot of benefit for the people. It's a month that increases sympathy for a person, and it increases his closeness to Allah ta'ala. And lots of other beautiful things happen for him in this particular month. So that is what this particular month is about. But my respected friends and brothers, the most important outcome of the month of Ramadan is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may acquire taqwa, that is, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the most important thing. Now Ramadan is coming, we must focus on the outcomes. You know this word outcomes, been making it round for some years now, and everything, outcomes. We had outcomes-based education some years ago. The decided department decided now we do away from everything that had got to do with apartheid, and that even the system of education has to change. OBE, and children were given tasks, and look for the outcome. We were shown how to look for the outcome. And that whole system flopped. So it's out of the window already. So outcomes, even in our in our businesses, in marketing and that, this word outcomes, what are the final outcomes a person is supposed to look for? Why is he in this particular system? Ever, wherever a person goes. So when we are going into the month of Ramadan, we must also ask ourselves what the outcomes are going to be. And if we go into Ramadan unprepared, mentally unprepared, then my respected friends and brothers, there are going to be no outcomes. There might be negative outcomes. There might be, you know, a great loss that a person is going to experience. Like Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, woe to that person who witnessed the month of Ramadan. He didn't even get himself forgiven. Such a great month. So the fellow lost the outcome of the month of Ramadan to get the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person goes, for example, into a gym, before he goes into the gym, exercise plan. That in this month you have to do like this and you have to do so many of that and so many of that. Then the instructor will tell you this is your final outcome and whatever it is. In the same way, my respected friends and brothers, if a person goes into whatever plan he goes into, whether it's military or whatever, into training, they say at the end, this is what you will know. You go into a workshop, you go into a course, training workshop, they say at the end, this is what you will have acquired. So, my brothers, let us focus on what the outcome of Ramadan should be. For us, not physical, you know, Ramadan is coming, hey, I have to get this thing down, weight loss, so I think I will lose a few. Ramadan is coming, I need to get my cigarette consumption down. Ramadan is coming, got some health issues, so inshallah when I will be in Ramadan, I need to just make sure that those matters are all sorted out. In fact, we're listening to the one program here on one of the radio stations, Islamic radio stations. They were talking about these aspects, that this is how you must have sehri, and this is how you must have iftar. And if you are diabetic, then don't have that, and have so much of this medication and that medication. So the whole thing is that when you're going through Ramadan, you must be careful how your health gets. Don't drink carbonated drinks and all that type of thing. So, alhamdulillah, we're not saying that Ramadan fasting does not have its physical benefits, but that is not what the outcome should be, my respected friends and brothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That is the outcome we are supposed to be looking for. So how can we just unpack it a little bit more? Let us look at the words of one of our great scholars of the past, Mawlana Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullah alayh. He says this, outcome of Ramadan should be this. This you must all just revise and just memorize this. The outcome of Ramadan should be this, that a person is able to, and a person is conscious about this, that I must refrain from all those prohibitions that the Sharia has imposed on me, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has imposed on me. All those prohibitions. So I must be conscious of it. Ramadan is supposed to train me for that. At the end of Ramadan, I must come out so clean that I know that now I am trained. My nature becomes such that I am conscious that no, this is not right. This is not right. This is right. Not only must my mind be made up, but I must be able to abstain from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all matters with regard to rights relating to fellow human beings, which is a major, major shortfall, my respected friends and brothers, in our society nowadays. We fail to fulfill the rights of the people. In matters relating to halal and haram, what we are consuming, just one certificate from anywhere, we are okay with it. Or not only that, even how our income is being acquired. Are we even worried that these things are totally against the Sharia? So halal and haram in that way. Paki and napaki, what we call purity and impurity. How are we taking care of that part? We mentioned other hadith after Maghrib. It is, you know, half of Iman. And with regard to permissible and impermissible. So all these things have to be come my nature in such a way that I am now able to refrain from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all these matters. And why? Because these are the things that will displease my Allah. So that is the outcome of Ramadan. And these are the things that are going to be detrimental to my akhirat, my destination. That, my respected friends and brothers, is supposed to be foremost in our mind when the month of Ramadan comes. That is the outcome we must base ourselves. And Maulana mentions, we must be more conscious of refraining from these things, disobedience to Allah, matters of halal and haram, matters with paki and napaki, permissible, more than we are worried about eating and drinking in Ramadan. Obviously, we have to be conscious. So some people are very conscious about, I mustn't eat, I mustn't drink when it's Ramadan, when it's fasting. But they break the orders and the commands of Allah Ta'ala, left, right and center. Their language is still the same, like how it was all the French they are speaking. And all the other haram that they do, the lying, the doing the people down, the ghibat, and just, you know, taking people's honor and respect away. But no, we don't eat anything in Ramadan. Till iftar time, we're not going to put anything in our mouth. And when the azan goes, then we'll eat. But whole day we're eating our brother's flesh. So that has to be taken away, my respected friends. And that consciousness has to come into our mind. That is the outcome of Ramadan. That's why I was harping on the word outcome. Now, the month of Ramadan has been fashioned and tailored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a manner, my brothers, for everyone. Anyone, everyone, no matter at what level he is, he must know that this month has been tailored for me to pick up from whatever level I am and improve and progress myself in terms of various things. So a person can be, no, let's say I had a bad year, messing around big time. So I'm right down there. Allah has made Ramadan for him to come up. And the fellow who, alhamdulillah, there are those kind of people amongst us, they are right there on top. Their ibadah, their actions, their akhlaq, their dealings is so well, their everything. They are great. They are great people. Alhamdulillah, we envy them. But it doesn't mean that there isn't room for them also. There is still great room of improvement for them in the way the month of Ramadan has been fashioned and tailored. So whether it comes to our a'mal, our deeds, whether it comes to our beliefs, whether it comes to our ibadat, our tilawat, our zikr, our interaction with people, our perseverance, our preference, our sympathy, our compassion, our everything that we want to talk about. There's so much of room, my respected friends and brothers, at whatever level we find ourselves to improve and to make ourselves better. So that, let us look at it in that particular manner, and let us make sure that we do not let this months go by where we had the great opportunity to prepare ourselves for qualifying into that final destination that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made. And not only that, not only does it enable, one other beautiful thing about Ramadan, the environment is such. One is how Allah has, you know, fashioned all those a'mal, the deeds, whether it's a sihri, whether it's a fasting, whether it's a tarawih, whether it's iftar, whether it's abstaining, whatever it is, all these things. In itself, the environment is such also, alhamdulillah, that it creates such a shock, you know, a desire in the hearts of the people that, no, I know, I need to get involved, I need to do something. If a person in all of that still lets this opportunity go, then that's why that second curse of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the mimbar is so scary, my respected friends and brothers. So, there's great opportunity for everyone. Therefore, my respected friends and brothers, to acquire this particular, you know, the outcome of the month of Ramadan, there are certain things a person has to do. Next week, this time will be our first Friday already. No Dar Chawal next week, Friday. We can just enjoy the one today for the last Friday before the next 4 weeks. So my brothers, the first thing is a person must reflect. How many of my Ramadans have passed? Which one got our year? How many years we are? And how did I use the month of Ramadan to prepare myself for my destination, going to the qabr? You know, we go to the qabristan, then we come back in the car. And one day someone will leave us and come back, and we're going to be left alone there. How have I prepared myself for that destination? And how many of months have passed, and what did I do in all those months of Ramadan, 50, 60, whatever a person's age is? How did I treat that particular month of Ramadan? Each of us reflect. Outcomes, we're going for outcomes. So before I go to outcome, we must just do a little, you know, appraisal of part of the past. Then the second thing, my respected friends and brothers, a person must say, in the past Ramadans, how many things did I do that brought a permanent change in me? So mashallah, in Ramadan, we were here, first serve, we were doing whatever, first row. in the masjid, doing a lot of good things. But the minute Eid day came, we were gone. We were lost. Forget the first row, the whole salat also disappeared. Everything disappeared. So we have to ask, how many permanent changes came into my life? And when we speak of permanent changes, then we must start at priority, you know. Those that are the fara'is, those that are the most important ones. Then, inshallah, we will find some very positive outcomes that are going to come around, my respected brothers. Then we ask ourselves in relation to fulfilling my social rights. I spoke about rights earlier also. How much of effort have I made? How much did the past Ramadan help me to improve my interaction with people and my social dealings? How am I with society? How do I treat them? How do I look at myself? How do I look down upon them? How do I show respect to them, courtesy, politeness, and all the other things that go with social interaction? There are so many things. That's the first thing. Or among the things that we are supposed to reflect on. Then the second thing is, maybe more important than that, I'm just mentioning in a random order, is what was the quality of my ibadat? That means my acts of worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the past Ramadans, and in the past year, we can just do a quick appraisal. What was the condition of salah? How many salah did I miss? How many salah did I read? How many did I read with the first takbir? How many I neglected? How many I just read any old how? There's only salah we're talking about. Fajr salah, did I ever see how the masjid looks at Fajr time besides the last Eid al-Adha when everybody goes for Fajr namaz after I never saw how the inside of the masjid looks at Fajr time? So these are some of the things a person is supposed to do as a self-appraisal. And not only ibadat or salah, all the other ibadat that are in front of a person, my respected friends and brothers. Then when it comes to my shari'i rights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on me towards my fellow human beings, on a social interaction. I'm still sitting with my brothers and sisters' inheritance. I stole it. I never gave it back to them when mommy and daddy passed away. I'm enjoying it. Did the Ramadan come? Did it not make me realize? Did it not make me conscious that this is a matter of halal and haram? When it comes to business dealings, I'm still busy lying through my teeth with everything that I can just to make that extra few rands, what it might be. Did the past Ramadan not create that consciousness in me that I'm going to be very, very careful, bring people down, and with my other family issues, you know, whether it comes to partnerships, whether it comes to family property, and there are so many things that keep on coming up. If Ramadan came and Ramadan went and we did not sort that matter out, my brothers, then it's a very negative outcome. Ramadan hasn't done to us what it was supposed to do because we didn't really make an effort towards that. Also with regard to our tazkiyah, tazkiyah means self-purification. There is such an importance that we cleanse our heart, ourselves, with the spiritual sicknesses and maladies that afflict a person in terms of his pride, his arrogance, his greed, his jealousy, his hatred, his malice, his whatever else, all these things that we speak about on a Wednesday night. How much did the past Ramadan purify me spiritually? Or am I still a spiritually sick person? We always say, you know, you go for a checkup, and if the doctor says, this is wrong with you, that is wrong with you, that is wrong with you, that is wrong with you, we won't come out from there happy. We'll be very, very sad and depressed. But that's physical. What if it's spiritual? Physical, the worst is a person will die. But if it's spiritual and it's not sorted out, my respected friends and brothers, then the journey and the destination ahead, Allah have mercy on us. So we need to be sure that when the month comes, we need to be conscious about it. You know, it mustn't be an automatic. Mawlana Ilyas Sahab, rahmatullah alayh, he says, people when they make wudu, they don't know what they are doing. Nowadays, after Maghrib, we are reading the important aspects of wudu. It's not just a ritual we're going through here. When we are making wudu, he says, people don't know what a great ibadat and what a great spiritual exercise it is. So they just go through the motions. They wash their hands, they wash their face, they wash their arms, they wash their feet, and they get up and they go. Wudu is not that, my brothers. Wudu is an act of ibadat which is very, very powerful, very strong. Something that now has enabled us to link up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a very positive way. So automatic wuzu. So we mustn't have an automatic Ramadan. Moon sighted, Taraweeh, out, fast. This guy, he reads too slow. The second guy, he moves it. He's a good guy. He knows. He's got turbo. He moves fast, Taraweeh. This guy finished today. He finished 5 minutes later. That is not what it is about. Sehri time. Where's the savouries? Iftar time. Or how many samosas we can bang at the time of iftar? How many? There's a record we got to break in those 6 minutes that are given here to us. And the next thing we see, Ramadan has come and Ramadan has gone. My brother, every moment, every day, every night of Ramadan is valuable. It is an opportunity for us to qualify ourselves to enter that destination that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us.